The illustration of it. God wants you and me to be servants to one another. That's why Jesus manifested himself in his lowliness. He came down here, washed our feet. He says, all I've ever wanted is for you guys to get along. All I've ever wanted is for you guys to do it right and lay down your lives for one another and care about each other. And he came meek, he came lowly, a bruised reed he wouldn't break, a smoking flax he wouldn't quench. He wasn't about beating people up and casting people down. In his humanity and in his incarnation, he was trying to get us to get on the right page with him. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to love mercy, but to do justly and love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Jesus embodied that. But in his pre-incarnate apparitions, like with Joshua, he came as the captain of the Lord's host. In the Psalms, David said, God is a mighty warrior. Here we see him on a horse. And when he comes back in the Revelation, in the time of the Armageddon, he's coming as a warrior. We need to understand he's a mighty warrior. He is on our side. Isn't that a good thing to know? But he is a mighty warrior, and he's come, and he's a commander of his hosts. And he says in this passage, he's on a red horse, and he's among the myrtle trees. Now, the end thing about the myrtle tree is a myrtle tree is a very pitiful little tree as far as trees go. It's not the stately, you know, elm. It's not the oak. You know, it's not the cedars, which stand strong and erect. No, it's just a little myrtle tree, and a myrtle tree is only good for a little bit of good fragrance and a little beauty, but not much else, you know. And so it's kind of a picture of him standing in the midst of, really, Israel. Because as the Lord stands in the midst of the candlesticks in Revelation chapter 1 and or 2 and 3, he moves in the midst of the candlesticks because he's there and he's examining everything and he's making sure that the churches are doing what they ought to do. And if you know those seven churches, as we went through them some time ago, you recall, perhaps, that he said there were certain things good and certain things bad. Okay? Well, they're a myrtle tree. They're a little beaten up. Israel's back in their land. He's standing in their midst. And the Bible says of this man on this horse that he answers and tells him who these be. Verse 10, and the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro throughout the earth. Now, you remember those words, to and fro throughout the earth. Now, most of us remember it more from a New Testament perspective, that the devil walks to and fro throughout the earth seeking whom he may devour, right? Well, God walks to and fro throughout the earth. Not God himself, but his angels, as it were. There are principalities and powers. There's stuff going on. You know, God cares about what's going on in his churches. That's why Jesus is in the midst of the churches in 2 and 3 of Revelation. And that's why these angels are sent forth. This is at a point in time where they're back in their land. They're the man of God. They're the mighty warrior of God. We're going to get to see him more. Look at verse 11 just to give it to you. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, these are the other men on horses. They're answering the angel of the Lord. This is a pre-incarnate apparition of Christ called a Christophany in the Bible. Okay? And what we have here is we have these are angels going out to and fro. There's probably a better place to really hang our heads, our hats, if you will, for this to and fro thing. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking those whose hearts are complete, that he might support those whose hearts are completely his. That's how it goes. The idea of God's eyes going to and fro. Remember Job. The Bible says to Satan, where have you been? He says, I'm going to and fro throughout the earth, right? So you've got this to and fro thing going on. Well, what now is God has done is he has sent his angels, these principalities, throughout the earth. Look at verse 9. He says, I will show thee what these be. And the man in verse 10 that stood in the myrtle tree said, these are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro throughout the earth. Now notice who sent them? The Lord. Verse 11. And they answered the angel of the Lord. These other horses, they went to and fro, and they answered the one on the other horse, on that red horse, it says, and they answered the angel of the Lord that stood in the midst of the myrtle trees, among the trees, and it says, and they said unto him, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Now that may sound good. Sound like a good thing. Everybody's easy, you know, enjoying the day, you know, it's nice. But it's a bad thing. Because what he's really working up to is he's beginning to show us, it's been 70 years of discipline for Israel. They're back in their land and God is in their midst. He's in the midst of the myrtle trees. He's in their midst and he's now set forth his these angelic emissaries to go into the world, and they have seen that everybody's sitting still and is at rest. And verse 12 says, "Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities? Will not, thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and the cities of Jerusalem, Judah?" The idea is this. We've been beaten to death. We've been slapped around for 70 years. And the man on the horse, the angel of the Lord, basically speaks what is begged from the hearts of every person who's back in Judah. How long is it going to be that the big bad nations are going to whoop up on us? Now guys, this is real time. The world hates Israel today. They hated them then. We are on the tail end of what is known as the times of the Gentiles. And even at this threshold, because it's the beginning of the times of the Gentiles was Babylon. So 70 years, they've just come through like a ringer. You know, think being ground up in gears. They're back, they're beaten up, and they'll never be on top of the world again as they were with Solomon and David. They'll never be like that again until the Lord Himself comes and makes it right. But He's saying, how long? He's begging the question that they're all thinking. He's saying out loud the question that they're all thinking. How long will you not have mercy? In verse 12. On Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years. There's the 70 years of the captivity in Babylon. Verse 13 says, "And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me." Now notice, there's a play here. It's a little tricky, and maybe I shouldn't get bogged down into it. But if you read it, you'll begin to see that the angel of the Lord is the guy sitting on the horse. He's the one that says, how long? And he's the one that answers the question he just posed. And he answers it to the guy who's standing by Zechariah. Just interesting. It's cool because God has manifested Himself to us. He manifested Himself pre-incarnate through Jesus in His pre-incarnate appearance. He manifested Himself today through the times of the Christ's physical coming. And He's going to come back again and He's going to be in our midst. But here we find Him posing the question. Here we find Him answering the question. Verse 13, "And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and with comfortable words." The real question was, when are you going to whoop up on those who've whooped up on us? You're our father. In that case, you're our husband, because they were wife of Jehovah. And the Bible says, and these comforting words go like this. Verse 14, "So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying," verse 14, "thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous." You ever been jealous for your kids? Have you ever been angry for your kids because somebody else was messing? Have your parents ever been angry for you in your behalf? Have you ever had somebody come in and take up for you when you were being picked on? Or maybe you've taken up for somebody. God says, I am jealous. I want you to know. You know, comforting words. Isn't it good? You know? Do you want to know what's going on right now? Every one of us hobbled in here tonight, trying to feel our best, do our best, make our best efforts to follow God, to lean in, to turn to God, to draw near to Him so He'll draw near to us. But the devil, he beats up on us every day. He beats up on us in every... And you know what? God is jealous for you. Isn't that good to know? There's going to come a time when He's going to whoop up on the devil. He's going to whoop up on the demons who mess with you day to day. The Bible says we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. You think God cares about it? Yeah, He cares. He says, I just want you to know that I am very jealous for you. And I am very, very much aware of how you've been being treated. You want to know one of the coolest things about the millennium is the devil's going to be bound 1,000 years. There ain't going to be no demons and devils running around for 1,000 years on this earth in the millennium. Well, he says to these people of these Gentile nations, he says, the Lord is very jealous. In verse 14, he says, and for Zion with a great jealousy. He says, I am sore displeased with the heathen. You might underline these words, that are at ease. You see, when he asked the question, what did these guys on horses do? He said they went throughout the earth, and what did they find at the end of verse 11? Although the earth is sitteth still and is at rest. And here he's saying, I'm very angry with them for being at ease. And you got to wonder, why? Well, it's because of how they've treated his people. He says, for I was a little bit displeased, meaning my people wouldn't listen to me, and I was a little displeased with them, so I used them to be my battle axe. He said, but they went beyond what they were supposed to. Verse 15 says, I was a little bit displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. In other words, they took the affliction too far. They took it too far. God says, I saw that. You know, In the Old Testament, you find the angels leaving their proper estate and going after strange flesh, right? You see that in chapter 6 of Genesis. It's only for a brief moment on the canvas of time, but God dealt with them, right? Some are reserved in fire, they're reserved in chains, and when the abyss is opened in Revelation during the tribulation, man, it's going to get really, really bad. Because those bad demons are going to come out and they're going to really mess with people down here. God dealt deliberately with the principalities. He will deal with them again. He will deal with the nations. Look what he says. The nation that he is referring to specifically was that nation called Babylon, but he says they are at ease, and I am sore displeased in verse 15 with the heathen that are at ease, for I was a little bit angry, but they helped take it too far. Verse 16 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned, or literally, this is the same word, turn. Same exact word as he said, turn to me. He says, I am turned to Jerusalem. Underline this, with mercies. Because the other question was, what? How long will you not have mercy? I am turned. I am there now. When we sing grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins, guess what? God's grace is available now. He's not leaving. When we were reading today a little bit, Linda and I were reading about how the Lord had told Moses, you know, to strike the rock and give water to the children of Israel when they were in the desert, right? He says, take the rod which you held up over the Red Sea and split it and strike the rock. And later we know he's going to say what? He's going to say, go take that same rod, hold it forth, and speak to the rock and it'll bring forth. And what I began to see was that what God does is he does the miracle of delivering us from sin. That's the Red Sea. We're getting out of Egypt. We're getting out of the world. God delivers us miraculously. Have you ever just marveled at how it came about that you're not who you used to be? You are not who you used to be. Born again means something. And it should. But not only that, but then he struck the rock to make it possible. He struck the rock to give us refreshment, so we get a sustaining refreshment through our experience. And when we sin, what do we have to do now to keep our momentum up? Pray. Just speak to the rock. Lord, I'm sorry. And he says, forgiven right now. And what we see here is we see he's come, he's turned toward Jerusalem, the city of peace, he's turned toward Jerusalem, and he's turned to Jerusalem with mercies, which is exactly what they've wondered. When are we going to get some mercy? He says, I'm there. He says, I've turned toward Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it. They're in the midst of that building project as he is speaking, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Verse 17. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord, my city through prosperity shall be yet spread abroad, saith the Lord, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. He has just catapulted from my house shall be built in real time to the point of the millennial kingdom where he is literally going to be the person who puts encircles Israel. So he's beginning to tell them, not only will your city be built,